So this is a beautiful and interesting moment in time where we are right now. Some of us are observing Hanukkah. For some, Christmas time is a celebration. And here we are in the middle of all of it at the winter solstice. I love how the confluence has happened this year. Because each one of these wonderful celebrations, commemorations, rituals, each one of these things in some way points us toward light. Even as we all know, the world many days feels somewhat dark. We are at this beautiful moment when all of these traditions, these celebrations are moving us in the direction of light. We know that it was a difficult week. Some terrible, terrible things happened this past week, and it was also a good week, as I already mentioned, with Governor Hochul deciding to pass the MAID legislation. We are, at this moment in time, also closing down 1 year and getting ready to enter into a new year, which is, of course, always a hopeful moment in time. So in preparing for this morning, of course, I started thinking a lot about light and dark, and especially because of this time of year, how we manage the darkness. And I believe that it is like building muscle. It's a practice. You have to work at it every day. At any moment in time, you choose your mindset and you decide how you're going to feel about the situation. It is always a choice to decide, am I going to be glum about this? Am I going to accept this? Am I going to choose to look for the light in this situation? Here's a tiny little minor example. We got a beautiful snow in Vermont. I know you did here too, I think. And then came the rain. Poured rain all day Friday, so depressing. I was driving down to Manchester, pouring rain, and I thought, well, at least my car is getting a good rinse. And which is a big deal when you live on a dirt road. So I, for one moment anyway, I decided to find a tiny sparkle in that moment of disappointment about the weather. But I actually do think that if we practice on small things like our response to the weather, if we practice acceptance and non-attachment to any particular outcome, then we really do have a good shot at being able to deal with the larger issues that we face and how we're going to let them affect us. So I ask myself, is there hope in the darkness or is it just darkness? Is there hope in the darkness? So here we are at this time of year when there is not a lot of daylight, and here in the Northeast, it's very cold, and the combination of these things can be very difficult. So again, a choice, a response. Tiny little example, I knew there was going to be a window of sunlight on Thursday morning, so I shifted all of the things I was doing and I arranged my schedule. I have to say it, I know it's a little indulgent, so I could ski for a few hours on Thursday morning. I live very close to Magic Mountain, and so I was able to just go and take a couple of runs and then get back to work. Skiing, as many of you know, is a little bit of a hassle, right, with all the equipment, all the stuff it involves, getting to the mountain, all the things you need to bring. But the thing about doing that is that it brings me a lot of joy. I know that it's a thing that I can do that literally creates a full body experience of joy. And I've been doing it ever since I could walk. It's a lifetime thing. Magic Mountain is a very old school ski place. It's not expensive to ski there. It's a nice community. And on that morning, the photographer for the mountain was out taking pictures and he captured a picture of me skiing and my whole face is a smile. And so I really realized, like, wow, there it is. That is literally a full body joy experience. And the thing about it is that doing the things that bring you joy, being able to identify them first, and then doing more of them is really, really, really important and not self-indulgent during times when life can feel very dark. And the reason is because joy resonates. Joy is an energy. And when you create joy with your life, the ripples of that energy go out and touch everyone that you come in contact with. People feel the joy when you are choosing to manufacture it. It's contagious. It's not always easy, but I really do believe that it is essential that during the dark times we figure out how to use our own lives to create joy. So I got very clear with myself moving into 2026. I actually made a list of the things I do that bring me joy and the people I love being with and how that creates joy. And I have already resolved to do more of those things in the new year. Spend less time fretting, wishing things were different, and actually use the life energy that I have to manufacture joy. I am going to choose that no matter how dark the world becomes. Again, this past week, it brought terrible, terrible events in the world. We have family who live right in the neighborhood where the shooting took place in Providence. We have friends and family who went to Brown University. That shooting hit very close to home for us. And then came that feeling that we're not safe in the world, no matter where we are. It really feels that way at times, doesn't it? If it can happen there, it can happen anywhere, right? Then came, of course, the death of the Reiners, and, you know, none of us probably knew them personally, but most of us love the work that they created. The shooting in Australia, the Harvard professor, it felt endless this past week. I find myself wondering why there's so much anger in the world that provokes these events. And there definitely was a lot of fodder in our lives this past week for a lot of fretting. So here we are at this time when we feel in many ways shrouded in darkness. The days are short, the world can feel very menacing. In my own life, two of my dearest and closest friends have very dire cancer diagnoses, so I am watching them go on a very regular basis to the darkest of places, which is the radiation treatment room at Saratoga Hospital. The spiritual weariness that builds up in our lives these days is really palpable. It's palpable, spiritual weariness. When times get challenging like this, I turn to sacred text. I want to know how those who came before and other cultures and civilizations have written about the darkness to help me learn what to do about it. Light appears at the very beginning of creation. In Genesis, light actually precedes form and order and life. It says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." This passage establishes light as the first sign of divine intention moving into this world. The first sign of divine intention in our lives. Many indigenous traditions honor darkness as a sacred balance. Night brings rest and dreams and ancestors and renewal. Light emerges from darkness as a continuation, not a victory necessarily, but a continuation. There's a balance in there. In Buddhism, light represents awakening. The word itself, enlightenment. Light is right in the middle of it. Enlightenment, becoming light. Darkness can reflect ignorance and attachment to things, but also darkness is the field where wisdom can ripen. So in reading the wise ones who came before, we are reminded that darkness carries purpose in our lives. It's not something to be avoided, but rather a place that is rich with opportunity to learn and to grow. Darkness is honored as necessary, as a place for wisdom, and it is alive with meaning in virtually all spiritual traditions, and it should be in our lives too. We learn that light and darkness are not adversarial, but rather companions within the spiritual life. Each are essential to achieving what we are hoping to achieve, which is spiritual wholeness. What is light for us, especially at this time of year? I think it's a very simple thing. It's hope. Light brings with it hope. Tomorrow, am I correct about this, is the final night of Hanukkah? So, as we know, this is a story of light persisting in darkness, commemoration of the rededication of the temple and the miracle of the oil that burned for 8 days. It's a flame that should have died, but it didn't. Each night of Hanukkah adds another candle to the menorah, gradually pushing back the darkness. In the Christmas story, the shepherds see a special light, a special star in the sky, and they choose to respond to it. No doubt it was a mystery, and maybe even a little frightening to respond to that light. But it turned out for them to be a sign that divine light had come to dwell in humanity. The longest night, tonight, reminds us that darkness reaches a kind of fullness. It doesn't expand forever. At the very point where the night feels like it can't possibly get any longer, the turning begins back to the light. There are so many important and beautiful teachings and opportunities within each of these traditions. The solstice says, even the world's deepest night turns toward the light. Hanukkah says, even the smallest flame can defy the darkness. And Christmas declares that divine light comes quietly into human darkness, dwelling within us and making ordinary life radiant with meaning. As humans, we have to learn, it's really a very important part of the spiritual quest, we have to learn how to hold that tension, how to live in a world where light and darkness both have purpose and meaning. There is a writer and attorney, his name is Jay Kuo. I don't know if any of you follow him on Substack, his work is really great. He summed up the events of this past week like this. He said, we can hold two things in our hearts at once. We can be happy in America, even while we are deeply unhappy with America. Indeed, he said, being happy in America, as I choose to be, is more vital than ever as terrible news barrages us, threatening to darken our hearts and sink us into despair. It's really well written, isn't it? We can be happy in America even when we're not happy with. There, of course, is going to be darkness. There always has been darkness. There always will be darkness. And the darkness will always be there as an invitation for us to dig deeper for the light, to look more carefully, to work to generate more joy, and the way I see it, to walk with hope tucked into our pocket, even through those dark days. We must not let go of hope during these times, because it is the thing that carries us forward into the new day. There's a wonderful writer, poet, painter. Her name is Jan Richardson. Anyone familiar with her work? You'll want to know it. She used to be, I believe, a Methodist minister, no longer doing that actively, but she has a beautiful website, and she writes a lot of beautiful blessings. About 15 years ago, she married this wonderful woman named Garrison. It was later in life, in their 40s, I think, late 40s. And shortly after they got married and created this beautiful partnership with music and spirituality and art, Garrison had some sort of standard issue surgery and complications ensued and he died. And it was a tremendous shock to everyone. And Jan has really written a lot about finding the light in that darkness and moving on in life even after having been shrouded by this terrible event. The title of this is Blessing for the Longest Night. All through these months, as the shadows have lengthened, this blessing has been gathering itself, making ready, preparing for this night. It has practiced walking in the dark, traveling with its eyes closed, feeling its way by memory, by touch, by the pull of the moon, even as it wanes. So believe me when I tell you, this blessing will reach you. Even if you have not light enough to read it, it will find you, even though you cannot see it coming. You will know the moment of its arriving by your release of the breath you have held so long, a loosening of the clenching in your hands, of the clutch around your heart, a thinning of the darkness that had drawn itself around you. This blessing does not mean to take the night away, but it knows its hidden roads, knows the resting spots along the path, knows what it means to travel in the company of a friend. So when this blessing comes, take its hand. This is the night when you can trust that any direction you go, you will be walking toward the dawn. Get up, set out on the road you cannot see. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and joyous solstice.